The following audio is from Potomac Heights Baptist Church, located in Indian Head, Maryland. More information about Potomac Heights Baptist Church is available at www.phbc.com. Potomac Heights Baptist Church exists to glorify God and make Christ known by making disciples who make disciples to the ends of the earth. It is our hope that you will prayerfully listen to this sermon audio.
We're going to be in Jeremiah 1 today. So if you have a Bible, and I hope that you do, I invite you to turn there. If you need one, Mr. Wendell has some red ones in his hands that he's more than happy to share with you. If you grabbed one of those red ones, it's page 745. 745 in the red ones. Otherwise, I'll let you fend for yourself. But always good to have a copy of God's Word so that we can read it together. In 1909, after the rollout of the Ford Model T, Henry Ford made the famous line about car customization when he said that any customer can have a car painted any color he wants, so long as it's black. That was the extent of car customization 100 plus years ago. Compare that to today, when you can get a car off the lot in just about any color you want, and then you can take it to a body shop to get it any color you can think of. And that's just one example of how we live today in just an ultra-customized world. Whether it's a custom suit rather than just one off the rack, or a stuffed animal that you build yourself rather than just grabbing off the shelf, or characters that you design, whether it be in a video game or as a Bitmoji or whatever it might be, we customize everything. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, especially when we consider who else is in the customization business. I mean, just think about how God made the world. I mean, He created over 20,000 types of fish, 400,000 types of flowers, and this one just really threw me. There's over 7,000 kinds of apples. Like, I think I could name four, and yet there's over 7,000. I mean, God has customized His world incredibly, and yet, on top of all of that, the crown jewel of creation is us, is humanity. And God spared absolutely no expense in customizing us. Each and every one of us is a unique, special creation of boundless worth. And it is our Maker, our Creator, who gives us that worth. And so we're going to look at our worth as humans in our passage today. We're just going to read Jeremiah 1:5. And we're going to look at how God is sovereign over every aspect of our lives and gives our lives worth. But before we read, I want to pray. Father, I'm thankful for the time that we've already had praising You through song and prayer and giving. And I ask that would continue now as we focus in on Your Word, that You would speak through me to all those who are here, that You would be glorified, and that we would be encouraged and lifted up, that we might be more like Jesus when we leave here today than we were even when we got here. God, speak to us, be with us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Jeremiah 1:5, the Lord says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." We're going to structure our time together based around the four actions that God does in this verse as we try to wrap our heads around the sovereignty and customization that God has over our lives, and then see the worth our lives have as a result of what God does. The four actions God does are He knows, He forms, He consecrates, and He appoints. But we're going to start with God knows, because as you see here in verse 5, God knows even before He forms. The first part, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." So to be known in this sense is to be known personally. This is not the cold, kind of indifferent knowledge that we have when it, say, comes to knowing that 2 + 2 = 4, that the red light means stop. No, this is a relational, intimate, individual knowing. We see the same word in Amos 3:2 when God says to his people, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." Now, obviously, God being God, he knows everyone. It's not that he only knows this one people and everyone else is a mystery to him. No, he's using this word to highlight the special relationship that he has with his people. We see this also in Psalm 1:6. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, because the righteous is walking in step with God, and so there's that relationship. So for God to know someone in this way, it's not just to know about them, to know facts and information. It's to know them directly and personally. And God tells us that he had that knowledge of Jeremiah before he even existed. And that's where my head starts to hurt. So we're like 2 minutes in, so hang with me. At the dawn of the universe, when the flowers and the apples were just starting to form, God already knew everything about Jeremiah, and you and me too. You see, God knowing Jeremiah in this way is not unique to him. God knows us in the same way too, which means before your parents ever met, before your grandparents even met, God knew you. He chose you. He set his affection on you. He began watching over you, and he has not stopped since. You see why my head starts to hurt. It's massive, this point. And we could spend hours just trying to work through it, but let me give you three kind of takeaways from this truth that God knows you. First, you were not an accident. God knew exactly when you would be born, who you would be from eternity past. You were not a surprise to him. Your birth was not a mistake. God has set his eyes on you. He knows you, and he always has known you. You are no accident. Two, you are valuable. You're worthy of God's time. He's custom made you. He didn't just go into the warehouse of John's or Sarah's or whoever and say, just anyone will do. Come on, we got to go. No, he made you exactly how he wanted to. He knew exactly who you'd be, from your eyes to your fingerprints to your laugh. You are a unique, one-of-a-kind creation from God. And you have worth because of who made you. I mean, so let me put it this way. Imagine if I had two paintings up here of a starry night sky, and one was by me and the other was by Leonardo da Vinci. Which one would be worth more? You didn't have to answer that quickly. It would be Da Vinci's. Appreciate that. It would be Da Vinci's, hands down, no question. Why? Well, because of who made it. The Creator imparts the worth into the creation. And so in the same way, we have our worth because of who created us. Third takeaway, you are wanted. Remember, God did not have to create anything, and he certainly didn't have to create you or me. So why did he? Well, because he wanted to. He desired a world with you and me in it more than he desired one without you. He made you to bring something to the world that no one else in the history of humanity has ever brought. So my friends, even if it feels at times like no one else wants you, if your parents just don't get you, or your boss mistreats you, or your friends are not as supportive as you wish they were, God wants you. Let me just come back and say, God wants you so much that he sent Jesus to make a way for you to have a relationship with him forever. Now, we'll unpack that more in a bit, but I just got to slip that in there, that's how much God wants you. So God knows. This is the first component of his sovereignty over our lives. And let's take a quick pause before we get too much further and unpack that word sovereignty, just to make sure we're all on the same page. It's not one that we use every day. God's sovereignty in general speaks to his total and complete rule over everything in the universe. And in this specific context, here in Jeremiah 1:5, it speaks to God's total and complete rule over our lives, which is to say, there is not one single aspect of our lives that God is not involved in and in control over. Now this, I feel, can be a challenge at times, especially today, because it so goes against what our culture tells us. Culturally, who's the only one in charge of your life? You are. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. From Nelson Mandela's famous use of the Invictus poem, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. All the way to Elsa's Let It Go. I don't care what they're going to say. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. The world today says you and you alone are in control of your life. But according to this passage, we're not the masters of our fate. God is. We don't get to make the rules. God does. We are not the self-made men and women that our culture wants us to believe that we are. No, we're God-made. He is the sovereign one over our lives, and He knows us. So that's the first thing God does in this passage. He knows us. And then second action, God forms. We see this at the beginning. Before I formed you in the womb. And I love that word, forms. It's not that God produced us or manufactured us or just spoke us into being. He formed us. It kind of takes you back to Genesis 2, right? When God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. It shows God's intentionality, intimacy, and love at work in forming Jeremiah here, who then serves as a model for how God forms us too. Psalm 139 expands on this idea of God forming. Let me read verses 13 to 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So you, me, all of us are fearfully and wonderfully made by our Creator God. And not just made by Him, we're made in His image to boot. Back in Genesis, in chapter 1, verse 27, it says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So you and every person who's ever lived bears the image of God. And again, this is one of those just foundational, monumental truths that should rock our world. It should have a massive impact of how we view not only ourselves, but others as well. And it should elevate our view of the value, the worth, the sanctity of human life. And so given, as has been said, that today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, let me just take a moment and try to apply this truth to three particular groups of people as we think about them and as we view them and interact with them in the world. So first group, the unborn. So we've seen God is clearly at work in Jeremiah before he was born. He was at work in David in Psalm 139 when he was in the womb, as he was when Jesus came, because remember, Jesus came not as a fully grown man, but as a baby in Mary's womb, as he was in Paul, which Miss Louisa read for us beautifully just a few minutes ago. God forms people. He's at work in people's lives. He's involved in their lives before they are born. God loves the unborn. Now, regardless of how much agreement there might be in this room about the fact that an unborn baby is a human person deserving of the full rights and protections afforded to any other person, our culture does not always share that view. Many today deny that the unborn have the same worth as you and me. So here's my question for you here today. If so many in our culture deny the worth of the unborn, how are you actively championing their worth? To steal a phrase from Mr. Lewis. And I say actively because our role cannot be to simply sit back and say, okay, well, I've never had an abortion and I've never told anyone to, so I'm good. No, Paul says elsewhere in 2 Corinthians 5:11 that we are to try to persuade others of what we know to be true. And since we have the knowledge that the unborn have worth because they're formed by God and are made in His image, we should seek to encourage others to know that as well. So what are you doing to actively champion the worth of the unborn? Are you praying for mothers who are scared out of their minds and considering an abortion? Are you asking legislatures, representatives to pass laws banning abortions? Are you supporting pregnancy or foster or adoption services so that they can be better funded to better serve those in need? Friends, the unborn are too important to God for us to sit on the sidelines hoping someone else comes along and does something. And just one more thing on this point. While you may never have had an abortion yourself or encouraged someone to have one, statistically speaking, nearly 1 in 3 women will have one in their life. So it is more than likely that you know someone or will know someone who has firsthand experience with abortion. How will you respond to them? Will you share with them that God's grace and love and forgiveness are bigger than they can imagine and are available to them right now, that no matter how bad they may feel or how unforgivable they think their past is, God's grace remains right there for the taking? Friends, we need to love others well in this area. We need together to champion the worth of the unborn. That's one group to apply this to. Another group is the elderly. And I think many here at PHBC do a fantastic job of caring well for the elderly. I mean, everywhere you look, you see families taking good, loving care of their older loved ones. So I commend you, church, for your work in this area. But I do want to remind you that in this day and age, we are very much the exception, not the rule. I mean, how common is it for older folks just to be treated as a burden, to be shipped off to a home by themselves, or for something even like physician-assisted suicide to be pushed on them so that the difficulties of natural death can be avoided. Friends, we cannot just be concerned about the sanctity of life in the womb. We must be about the sanctity of all human life, from womb to natural tomb. And so we must continue to stand up for the elderly and show through our prayers and our presence and our actions that they are not forgotten nor unwanted, and that their life has just as much worth as ours does, because they too are made in God's image. They too are formed by His hand. And then one final group to look at, the foreigner. The lives of a Syrian refugee or a Mexican single mother or an Iranian Muslim all have the same value and worth as ours do. They are all just as much made in the image of God as we are. So let us be quick to make sure that our view of these people, our approach to these subjects, immigration or the refugee crisis or what have you, that our view is formed more by the Word of God than anything else. Let us be known as people of the Word, not just people who fall in line with whatever the Republican or Democratic platform may be. I'm not at all arguing that we don't think well about these complicated, important matters. I just want to make sure that as we think and discuss and read and learn about these situations, we all recognize that every person is made in God's image and is formed by Him and thus has value and worth. Now, these are just three groups. We could spend far more time. We could talk about special needs, about the poor, about the fatherless, those who are disabled, the rich, criminals, what have you. But I hope this helps see that every group that we look at, every person that we interact with is made in God's image and has worth because they have been formed by Him. The third action that God does in Jeremiah 1:3 is God consecrates. So before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. So to consecrate something or someone in this case is to sanctify them, to set them apart for a special purpose, a holy purpose. It's kind of like that nice pair of shoes that you have, you know, the ones that you're not just going to throw on to go weed the garden or trudge through the mud. No, they have a special purpose. They're set apart from the everyday. That's what God says He's doing to Jeremiah here. He's singled Jeremiah out. He's set him aside. He's called him out. We're going to see exactly what for in a minute, but before we do, I want us to focus on one thing here. The timing of this call, the timing of this consecrating. Did you catch it? Jeremiah was consecrated before he was born. So the question is, well, what did he do to deserve this calling, this sanctifying, this consecrating? And the answer is nothing. He did nothing at all to deserve it or to earn it. He couldn't. He wasn't even born when God did this for him. There was no job fair. There was no interview, no application process. He didn't have to enlist or audition or try out. There was no aptitude test to receive where he would. No, no, no. He received this calling not from anything that he did, but from God alone. You see, God, in His sovereign will, in His infinite mercy and grace, chose Jeremiah, called him out in order that he might serve Him. That's exactly how God calls us, too. Anyone who is in Jesus, who is a follower of Christ, is so. Not because that they're better or smarter than people who aren't. No, God has never said to anyone, "Oh my goodness, look at them. They're fantastic. They have to be on my team. Oh, please, please, can I consecrate you, please?" That's not how it works at all. No, we are so sinful. Our hearts are so hardened towards God that no one seeks Him of their own accord. Here's how Paul puts it in Ephesians 2, verse 1. "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world." Yet dead people don't do much. They're dead. Verse 4. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus, who is God in the flesh, he lived a perfect life, and He gave up His life that we might experience the love of God, that we might be forgiven for the sins, the wrongdoing, the rebellion that we have all committed, and that we might be made holy, sanctified, consecrated, just as Jesus is. This is the heart of the entire Bible. This is the greatest news in the history of the world. So for those here who have been called by God to serve Him, to live like Jesus, glorify Him with all that you have, let us remember this calling is not the result of who we are or what we have done. It is entirely the result of who God is and what He has done. And then if you've not yet been called, well, I'm super glad that you are here today, because this gift of God is available for you today, free of charge. You don't have to do anything to earn it. In fact, you can't earn it. That's how grace works. It's freely given. So would you consider asking God to give you this grace, this forgiveness today? I've been praying all week that those here today who have not yet received that would see their need for His forgiveness and would receive the freedom that Jesus brings today. So final action that God does in Jeremiah 1:5, God appoints. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." So it's all been building up to this. Because God knew and informed and consecrated him, now God appoints Jeremiah as a prophet to the nations, which is what the rest of the book of Jeremiah is about, his work as a prophet to the nations. And so I just got 2 points, and then we'll be out of here for this part of the worship service today. First, it is important to note that Jeremiah was not just appointed a prophet, but a prophet to the nations. It shows that God has a heart not just for the nation of Israel, but for all people. Was really kind of wrapped up in Israel, because if you go back to Genesis 12, the whole point of Israel was to be a blessing to the nations. And so God has a heart for all people, because all people are made in His image. And so Jeremiah is appointed to speak on behalf of God to all these nations, which interestingly enough, is very similar to what Jesus tells His followers to do in Matthew 28. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." That's why you heard Pastor Lewis pray for a people group. We pray for a different people group each week. That's why a number of us, as Pastor Brian mentioned earlier, are flying halfway across the globe to go and share the gospel with people in Western Europe. That's why we give each year, so that we can send more and more international missionaries, because God cares about all nations. We just need to ask ourselves, do I? Or is the missions offering in December just something else that we do, and the prayer time just a time to hear a funny sounding people group name? Do we share God's heart for the nations? And then the second point, the last point. I don't know about you, but I don't believe I've ever met someone who's been appointed by God as a prophet to the nations. And yet that does not take away from the fact that God has indeed appointed everyone to something. I doubt that your appointing, or certainly not mine, came as Jeremiah's did with this just direct spoken word from God to him. But God has put a ministry before each of us that we are to pursue. So, well, what's yours? Well, do you have a spouse? Love and serve them with a self-sacrificial love that points to the love of Christ and His church. Do you have children? Regardless of how old they are, love them deeply and raise them up to the best of your ability in the training and instruction of the Lord. Are there non-Christians in your office or your neighborhood or at your favorite restaurant? Share the good news that Jesus Christ has made a way out of sin and into freedom and eternal life. Now let's remember, in all of this work, we are appointed to these tasks and others, not because we're the best and that God just had to have us on this team. No. We are appointed because God has called us. It's not about us. It's about God who's in us. If you've ever struggled financially, you'll know that feeling of going to check out and swiping the card at the register and not being 100% certain that it's going to go through. Wondering, is there enough? Is it going to bounce back? I remember feeling this way when I was starting out and just having uncertainty. Well, I want to start to close by telling you about a time when I definitely did not feel that way. One summer in college, I worked for a professional tennis team up in D.C., and on the last night of the season, the owner of the team had me go and pick up food for the support staff just to thank them for their work, and he gave me his credit card. It was the heaviest. I don't know what it was made out of. I think, like, plutonium. I was like, this is insane. So I'm walking through D.C., like, got this rectangle. When I went to pay, I did not doubt for a second that I was like, I wonder if it'll bounce. No. I had essentially unlimited funds. So to apply that to our lives, when we go out and seek to do the work that God has put before us, to love those that God has put in our lives, if we're working out of our own strength, we're like young Brian wondering if his debit card's going to bounce because there's like 12 bucks left. We don't have that much patience or love or compassion. But if we're operating out of God's strength, we've got the CEO's credit card and we can just swipe that sucker with abandon, because we know it will never run out. We will never run dry. Friends, we have access in God to unlimited grace and mercy and love. So let us live boldly for Him in light of all that He's done and continues to do in us. So God knows, He forms, He consecrates, and He appoints. All of these point to His sovereignty, His rule over Jeremiah's life and our lives and the lives of every human who receives their worth because of Him. So I'm going to leave you today by reading just a few lines from this fantastic children's book. It's called How Much Is a Little Girl Worth? I think it summarizes well what we've been talking about. And so, gentlemen, while this book is directed towards ladies, know that what it says applies to you just as much. How much are you worth, precious girl? How much is a little girl worth? More than the sun and the moon and the sky. More than the shimmering sea, all of the beautiful treasures of earth, you are worth more than all that to me. Your value is found not in what you can do or the things you accomplish and win. It is found in how you were made, precious girl, created and cherished by Him. Your worth cannot fade. It will not go away. It's not changed a bit by what happens today. No one and nothing can make you worth less. Just what is your value? You don't have to guess. No one has power to change what God's done, and He says you're worth everything, even His Son. Worth all the pain, worth great sacrifice, worth leaving heaven, worth giving His life. How much are you worth, precious girl? How much is a little girl worth? Worth so much more than all my words could say. No one and nothing can take that away. Let's pray. Father, you have created us. You have bestowed upon us worth that no life circumstance or past hurt or view of self can take away. God, our worth is grounded in you and your love. So, Father, help us to remember that for ourselves that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are your crown jewel of creation. And God, help us to remember that in our view of others, whether it be those not yet born, those who are beginning to pass away, and everyone in between. God, may we view others with the value and worth that you have bestowed upon them. And God, help us to remember that the best way for us to respond to that is in faith and obedience to you through Christ. God, we are broken, we are incomplete, we are flawed people, and yet you have extended the opportunity for life and restoration and freedom in Jesus. So God, help us not to treat that as just something we hear each week or something that we can deal with later on. God, may we be burdened by our need for Jesus, and may we live out every day in light of his love. Father, I'm so thankful for who you are and for your word. God, be near us. Show us that you truly are a big God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you take just a moment, read back through the passage that we read today, and then we'll sing one last song together in a minute.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this sermon audio from Potomac Heights Baptist Church. Please feel free to make copies of this audio to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without express written permission.